Well, happy Easter, everyone. What a morning it is. Praise the Lord. So great to worship God with you all this morning. My name is Neil. I'm the lead pastor here, and I want to welcome you all to this beautiful Easter morning. The bold claim of the Bible is that Jesus is King. He is the best type of king. And his kingdom is here, and it brings the best possible life. Jesus' kingdom, it pushes against all other kingdoms, all ideologies, all politics, all life goals in our world. And Jesus invites everyone to turn from their kingdoms and to live and place their faith in him. Now, it's Easter Sunday, but the crux of Christianity happens on Good Friday on the cross. On Friday, King Jesus, he allows himself to be stretched out on a Roman cross. King Jesus allows the full force of sin and evil and death to crush him. Like a grain of wheat cast into the ground, Jesus is buried in a tomb. And it's through his death on the cross that Jesus shoulders our punishment and he wins our victory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And Easter Sunday, it's the after party. It's the celebration. Jesus has done the work. And Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday is the proof that it wasn't all made up. It's the proof that Jesus has done what he said he would do, that he is God himself. Jesus rises from the dead as living proof that God has come to save the world. And today is the opportunity for us to let Jesus change our lives. Very simply, today is the opportunity for all of us to take another step further into the kingdom of life that Jesus brings. Today is all about celebrating Jesus and his kingdom of life. And now let's turn to the scriptures. This passage is Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read the entire story. And you can turn, if you'd like, in the Bibles around you to page 828. But also, if you want, you can just listen to it read. I would like to invite up Audrey Teo to read the scripture for us this morning. And Audrey, thank you for coming. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you speak through this story, and this living story? Help us enter the reality of this like never before. We pray in your name. Jesus. Amen. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word?
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Filled with great joy. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Audrey. You may be seated. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. A joy-bringing, life-giving earthquake. And usually earthquakes are not joy-bringing and life-giving, are they? Has anybody ever been in an earthquake? Quite a few of us here. Has anybody been in a big earthquake? Yeah, still quite a few of us here. At 10:33 a.m. on July 5th, 18, a 7.1 magnitude earthquake occurred in Ridgecrest, California, underneath the Naval Air Weapons Station in China Lake. The quake, it was felt throughout Los Angeles. It was felt all the way up through San Francisco, all the way out to Phoenix, all the way south to Tijuana. And gas and water lines broke. Houses shook off their foundations. Apartments were evacuated. Rock slides covered the road. The power was knocked out. The damage was more than $5.3 billion. 150 miles away, there was a man working underneath his Jeep raised up on jack stands. When the quake hit, the Jeep shook off the jack stands and crushed him, killing him. It was a complete tragedy, a total catastrophe. I've actually not been in a major earthquake. But I've had a lot of childhood memories visiting my grandparents. Oh, I forgot to mention. The Ridgecrest quake, the earth moved 3 feet. This was huge. Back to Grandma's house. My grandparents lived on a hill outside of Watsonville, California, and they lived on the side of the slope. And when the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake, 6.9 magnitude, shook their house. The house survived, but they got scared, and so they moved about 200 yards inland to level ground, as one might do. For me, it was a mini catastrophe for all the things I loved about Grandma's house. Gone. An earthquake changes how you live. 5 times in Matthew's gospel, he records seismic activity, earthquakes. 5 times in this gospel. The first time was when the Magi, the wise men of We Three Kings fame, come in to Jerusalem carrying gifts looking for the baby king. And Matthew writes that the whole city experienced a metaphorical earthquake. It was a political earthquake. If there's a baby-born king, then that will change everything about the society. This baby king, then he grows up. And Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem 1 week before Easter Sunday in fulfillment of the ancient prophecies about the Savior King. And again, Matthew records that the whole city shook with wonder and with outrage at the claim that Jesus was making to be the one true king. If Jesus is king, then this changes everything. And then on Good Friday, when Jesus dies on the cross, there was another earthquake, this time a real one. Matthew records it in verse 50 of chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 50, Matthew says, then Jesus, up on the cross, shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and get this, tombs were opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And now on Easter Sunday, two more life-changing seismic moments. An angel and an earthquake, and the stone is rolled away. And then Matthew chapter 28, verse 4, the guards shook with fear when they saw the angel and fell into a dead faint. You know, from one perspective, these earthquake moments are catastrophes. Each of them is a catastrophe. Jesus' birth shakes the secure foundation of King Herod's established political order. Jesus' triumphal entry on the back of a donkey unsettles the Jewish religious beliefs. Jesus' death on the cross is a complete catastrophe for the faith of those who believe that Jesus was the one true Savior King. If Jesus stays dead, then his life, his miracles, his teaching are now just the discredited idealism of a delusional revolutionary. And the eternal kingdom that Jesus thought he was bringing forever is over. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." And yet the experience of the gospel writers 2,000 years ago and the experience of Christians since then is that Jesus' life does not end in catastrophe. In fact, Jesus' life does not end at all. It continues. Jesus' life continues in eucatastrophe. Eucatastrophe. Now, it wouldn't be an Easter Sunday sermon without a little Greek. Am I right? So let me tell you about the Greek word eucatastrophe. It's not actually a biblical word. It was coined in the 1900s by a man named J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings. Here's what it means. Eu means good in Greek, and catastrophe is a sudden downward turn of events. Eucatastrophe, according to Tolkien, means a miraculous, sudden turn for the better. Surprise! Eucatastrophe! And if you know The Lord of the Rings, let me just say that the eagles in The Lord of the Rings are the eucatastrophe. If you know, you know. When all seems hopeless and there is no solution, the eagles swoop in and save the day. Spoiler alert. Tolkien was a Christian himself, and he believed that the ultimate eucatastrophe was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I agree. When all seems hopeless and there is no solution in the devastated disciples' lives 2,000 years ago and in our lives today, the surprising, miraculous turn for the better is that the Jesus earthquakes shake us out of false foundations of our lives. The false kingdoms that we live in and our false kings that we follow, they shake us out of apathy and indifference to God so that we can experience the kingdom of life that Jesus wants to bring us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest eucatastrophe in history. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's take a look at more of this story. Matthew chapter 28. The resurrection is surprisingly good news for many people. First off, Mary Magdalene, and people like Mary Magdalene. You know, there was a time in Mary's life when she was demon-possessed by seven demons, as if one demon's not enough. To be possessed by a demon, you have to open yourself up to evil activity or be under the influence of people who are forcing evil upon you. And I don't know what horrific upbringing and experiences Mary had. And many people today go through the same living hell. Do you know what it's like to have a catastrophe hit your life and your support structures collapse and you live as if you're buried underneath the rubble, trapped by the sin of our world, wishing somebody would come and rescue you? That is Mary's life. And then Jesus sees her and sets her free. Meeting Jesus was a eucatastrophe for Mary, which explains why Mary Magdalene stayed near the cross, watching in horror and devastation, hoping beyond hope that the person, Jesus, who transformed her life, wasn't actually going to die that Friday night. And early on Sunday morning, as if compelled, she goes to the tomb just to gaze at it, just to sit in sorrow and grief. But she meets an angel. She meets an angel, and the first words in the kingdom of life are, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. The resurrection is good news for people who are afraid and full of sadness. Don't be afraid," the angel says. "Your worst fear is that Jesus, who set you free from unimaginable evil, has been himself destroyed by evil. Don't fear, I say to you." This is the message to us as well. Do not be afraid. What is your worst fear? What's your worst fear? Fear of failure? Fear of not being enough or having enough? Fear of the political shakings that are happening all around our world? What's your worst fear? Fear causes us to lose sight of Jesus and his life that he offers. Do not fear, the angel says. Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear. And we see perfect love displayed right here. The angel says, "You are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He isn't here, not here, not dead in the tomb like you think he is, not absent from your crumbled life, not hidden behind a stone. Mary, your worst fear isn't true. Resurrection life is true. Church, hear this. Jesus is not absent from your life, no matter how dark and fearful life is. Jesus is not dead, not dead at all. He is risen from the dead. The new life of King Jesus is true." Now, years earlier, Jesus raised Mary Magdalene out of the hell of her life. We don't know what led her into that pit of demons, but the trumpet sound of the gospel is that Jesus can raise you out of any and every pit, no matter how deep it is, no matter how buried beneath life's rubble you feel. Jesus died to raise all things out of the pit by descending into the very depths of the pit of hell. And on the third day, he rises again. And now the resurrection of Jesus offers new life to any and all who want to receive it. Do you want to receive this life, church? Do you want to step in new everlasting life after death in the future? And also new life now. And you know, Jesus offers us the choice. He offers us the choice in his gentleness. Jesus offers us the choice to choose. We can take him as king and live in his kingdom, or we can choose to be our own queens and our own kings in this life. He offers us the choice. And when Jesus comes again on the last day, Jesus will honor that choice. Those who choose now to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want the life that you give, and I will live in your kingdom," he says, "Welcome into my eternal kingdom, into heaven." And those who have said, "No, Jesus, I don't want you to be king of my life. I'll be my own queen. I'll be my own king. Thank you very much." On that last day, Jesus will honor your choice. And he will allow you to continue ruling your life in the absence of him, in the absence of good, in the absence of all the life that God brings, for you to experience hell without him. Holy Spirit, I don't want that for anybody. Not for the members of my family, not for my neighbors, not for people here. Holy Spirit, would you make our hearts alive to you, to receive you, to say yes, and to take ourselves off the throne. Would you do this, please, I pray. Amen. Let's keep going. The resurrection is surprisingly good news for the type of people I just prayed for, people like the guards and the religious leaders. Let me read to you verse 11. "As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. Angels, earthquake, tomb, no Jesus. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a very large bribe. They told the soldiers, 'You must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping. They stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble.' So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today." These poor guys. They are dead set against Jesus. They have heard the prophecies. Some of the religious leaders were there in Jerusalem when the Magi came looking for the new king. They have heard Jesus' teaching. They have seen Jesus heal people. They have all the facts in front of them. They even know an angel appeared and rolled the stone away. And no doubt, these religious leaders, they came back to the tomb to investigate, to see where Jesus was. And still, they do their very, very, very best to ignore the facts. They refuse to take Jesus as their king and receive the new life he has given them. And yet, if they accepted it, if they took Jesus as their king, it would be a catastrophe for them. It would change their life. But they refuse. They refuse to take themselves off the throne of their lives. This week, I asked my running buddy, as we're running down the road in the morning, I said, "Hey, why do you think people don't follow Jesus? Why do you think people don't follow Jesus?" I asked him. And he said, "I don't think it has to do with factual evidence. I think it has to do with people not wanting to change." He said, "People get content with their life and their habits, especially if they're unhealthy habits, and they refuse to acknowledge that a better life is worth it." Let me speak to the person in the room who identifies with that. Maybe you've been to church, and you've heard the stories, but you're just not interested. None of it seems relevant to your life. This was like 2,000 years ago. I simply ask you to reconsider the evidence. The invitation of the angel is to come and see. Come and see where the body was lying. The invitation of the angel is not, "Hey, don't look in the tomb. Just believe us. Trust us that Jesus isn't there anymore, okay?" That's not what the angel says. The angel says, "Take a look. Look at the evidence. See for yourself. Check it out. Ponder it. Bring your honest questions." I want to recommend a book. The best recent book I've read on the evidence for the resurrection and the doubts about it is this book right here, The If That Changes Everything. I actually recommend it for everybody to read. I've learned some things as I read this book. It's well written. It is wise and winsome, and it addresses a lot of objections that people have. The author writes this. He says, "Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a commitment based on evidence." The author says, "I grew up hearing lots of talk about taking a leap of faith. It's easy to get the impression that when Christianity asks us to have faith in Jesus, it's doing something like Peter Pan says in the old pantomime. If we all shout, 'I do believe in fairies, I do believe in fairies, I do, I do,' then Tinkerbell will come back to life." He says, but that's not it at all. The kind of faith Christianity asks for is grounded trust. It's not shutting out our eyes and making a wild leap into the unknown. It's more like marrying somebody that you've come to trust for all sorts of solid reasons. There are all sorts of solid, factual reasons to believe in the eucatastrophe of Jesus' resurrection. And you know what? There's also all sorts of experiential reasons to believe the eucatastrophe of Jesus' resurrection. The experiences that people have had, like we heard shared this morning from Christian and Stephanie. Another lady in our church named Gabby Suarez, she posted this past week on her social media. She says, "I know Jesus is real because I've seen the difference between me and him and me without him." This is the life experience that testifies to the new life-changing reality of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And the good news of Jesus is that it is here for all of us. Holy Spirit, would you help us overcome the obstacles that keep us from following you? Fill us with new life, I pray, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's keep going. The gospel shows us that the resurrection is surprisingly good news for people like the disciples. They were believers, but when their faith went through a deconstruction process, they tapped out. And while they used to be very passionate about Jesus, now they are embarrassed. They try not to talk about what they used to believe when they were full of faith. If you used to believe in Jesus as the king, you're in good company. Peter, James, and John all used to believe, and then Jesus up and died, and their faith died with him. Deconstructed, a seismic catastrophe. Disappointment, disillusionment, disbelief shook their reality, and they turned away from the hope that Jesus was the life-changing Savior that he claims to be. And if you're with these disappointed, disillusioned disciples, then hear the angel's words. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You might be disappointed with Jesus, but the good news is that Jesus is not disappointed with you. You might have walked away from your faith, but the good news is Jesus is walking towards you. Jesus tells Mary, "Go tell my brothers, leave for Galilee. They will see me there." Friends, do not be afraid of your doubts and your heartbreaks and your wounds. Do not be afraid, because Jesus is making plans to meet you and fill you with life. It's a you catastrophe. Amen. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news for all people everywhere. Go to the nations. Go to all the nations, Jesus says. All people everywhere, with the life-changing, you catastrophe news that Jesus has died and descended into the pit so that he can lift us all up. Whatever hell we experience, he is alive again and offering this new life to everybody. Church, have you received this new life? Do you want this new life and to live in the kingdom of Jesus? New life is worth celebrating on Easter Sunday. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Worship team, why don't you come on up? Matthew's resurrection account can be summarized in 9 words. 9 simple words. Here they are. He is risen. Come and see. Go and tell. He is risen. Come and see. Go and tell. Remember the angel who rolls away the stone? Like, how fun would it be to be that angel? Think about this. God has thousands and thousands of angels. And of all the angels he could choose, he says, "Hey, you're on. It's Resurrection Sunday. Go for it." What a joy. The angel gets to come down in the earthquake, scares the guards a little bit, shakes them up, they deserve that, and rolls the stone away, and Jesus is out. He's resurrected. You know, the stone keeps people from realizing that Jesus is alive. The stone keeps them away. The stone had to be rolled away so that people could see that Jesus is not there. And friends, there are stones that keep people from believing and placing their trust in Jesus. How fun it is to roll away the stones. How fun it is to say, "He's alive. He's not there. Look at the evidence." They need stones rolled away. This is the mission of the church. What a joy to roll stones away from people. And I encourage you, maybe there's somebody in your life that you think, they need the stone rolled away. What a joy for us to go and tell. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Jesus, a resurrected king, thank you that you cast out our fear. Thank you that you show us who you are. And God, if there's people in our lives, like I just said, would you bring them to mind? Would you give us the courage? Would you open their eyes? Would they be able to step into the new life that you give us and live with you as our king? Hallelujah. Amen.